CliffCentral.com. It is Thursday morning. It's the 8th of November. Before you know it, it's going to be December and you're going to be in the holidays and it's going to be fantastic. We're excited this morning because the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's, one of our most favorite weekly endeavors. We get to check in with some of the smart people, some of the people who really are paying attention to all the news stories, and hopefully they help us to condense it, make sense of it. And therefore, when we're asked an uncomfortable question at the coffee machine at work, we can go, ah, but I know this. So Tim Cohen is the senior editor at Business Day, and he began his journalism career in Dome Newspaper, the official student newspaper of the University of KwaZulu-Natal. He graduated to the last outpost, the Natal Witness, fueled by tea, where he subsequently was lured to the coffee-infused domain of Business Day. On Business Day, he's been the political correspondent, finance editor, London correspondent, and editor-at-large, among many other posts. And he says it was probably the coffee, but I think it's because he knows what he's doing. So, Tim, it's a pleasure to speak to you this morning. And before the end of this discussion, I also want to talk about your band. Tim actually has a band, and we'll talk about that too. Tumi Morake is here with us this morning too. This is brought to you by Nando's. Tim Cohen, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Cliff. Thanks very much to be with me.
Good. So listen, Tim, a couple of things that are going on that we need to hear your thoughts on. The latest on the SAA saga is as good a place as any to start. Is SAA still running? I mean, I don't even know if we're still in business here. What's going on?
Yeah, no, they've they got another 5 billion rand in the medium-term budget. It is extraordinary. It is amazing how an organization can lose so much money so fast. I mean, how do you do that? It's incredible. You know, I did a piece for the Financial Mail this week, and I had a look at the profitability of airlines all around the world. One of the strange things about SAA is that actually these are weirdly good times for airlines, you know, for the international airline industry. They made a record profit last year, around about $13 billion collectively. This is the entire industry. There was once a time that all of the airlines, you know, that airlines had this reputation of being businesses that really just couldn't make money.
Yeah, I remember the late 90s, early 2000s, people were saying this is a bad business, let's get out of it.
Yeah, no, that's right. And all of the top three, the big three legacy airlines in America, American Airlines, United, and Delta, all three of them went bankrupt in that period. But now they are, you know, the most profitable airlines in the world. It's, and the part of the reason for that, apparently, well, there's lots of reasons for that. First of all, they bought more airplanes. The total number of trips made by airlines is exploding.
If you think about it, more and more people are flying than ever before, and it's become cheaper in some places because they've got these planes. How many planes does SAA have at the moment? Do we know?
Yes, I'm just from memory about 200. In fact, I'm not sure about that, but I think that's about right. Yeah. It's a lot of planes. That's including SA Express, which does sort of little hops. One of the things that is interesting about SAA is that sort of typical of government enterprises, they have just staffed up to the gills. So there are apparently around about twice as many people staffing every plane in SAA than the international norm, which is quite incredible.
Yeah, we've got like the highest ratio of people to planes in any airline in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Just to go back to the international sort of context, apparently one of the other reasons why planes are making more money is the obvious. Less knee room.
Yeah.
They're just squeezing more and more people onto every individual flight. It's uncomfortable and unpleasant, but the airlines are coining it.
Yeah, and sometimes I book on SAA and then I end up on Mango somehow. which, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they have these strange things. You book, if you're flying internationally, you can book on one airline, and then when you walk onto the plane, actually it's a different plane. Actually, that's one of the SAA problems, is that it's because it's in a difficult, desperate financial position. It's willing to take overflow from the other airlines. The other airlines now book like crazy. And if they get too many passengers, they just shunt off the extra passengers to SAA, who have to take them at a discount. You know, the
leftovers, in other words.
It's
like that Sunday lunch where everybody's had the first round, and then there's just the crap really that's left. Tell me, Tim.
Never had that experience.
Now you are on your way up to Joburg later on, but you're in Cape Town most of the time. Is that right?
No, I stay in the Karoo. It's a very strange situation. I stay in a very deserted place in the Karoo. I'm about 40 k's from the nearest town.
That's nice. I'm almost jealous. What kind of decision is that to make? I mean, how did you come to the point where you were like, I've had enough of this. I can write in any place in the world, and you can. You decided to live in the middle of the Karoo.
Yeah, no, it's really odd. I mean, it's one of the joys, I think, about the new world, is that really you can function pretty well from anywhere, and in some jobs, you know.
Yeah, of course.
So we bought a piece of land. My wife and I bought a piece of land really a long time ago, and then we built a little cottage on it. And then we loved it so much, we decided that we were going to build a house. Then we had a house, and then we decided, Stafford, let's move here. And we stayed here for about 3 years, and then after that, there was like some crisis in the office, and they needed an extra body, and then I was hauled back to Johannesburg. And I've been in Joburg for 5 years, and just at the beginning of this year, we came back down.
You said, to hell with this, I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay, so you're close enough to Cape Town, though, to know what's going on, and I suppose all of us these days, it doesn't matter where we are geographically, because the news is available to all, and thanks to the internet, we can keep a close eye on what's going on. Now, Patricia DeLille has obviously been in the news quite a lot. She's been unseated eventually. She's decided to get out of there. And Dan Plato is the new mayor. We know this name, though. He's been in the wings for a long time, right?
Yeah, he was once mayor of Cape Town previously, and he actually stood down in favor of Helen Ziller. I mean, I just think it's fantastic to have, you know, a mayor named after a Greek philosopher. I mean, how unusual is that for South Africa? I mean, that's got to be good, right? You've got to like the person who has a... He's named after a philosopher.
Yeah,
surely.
Especially Plato. We like a little stoicism. All right.
Yeah. No, he's interesting. I mean, the criticism about him is that he actually joined the National Party in 1994. So you know, the people have said, you know, democracy's just hit in South Africa. So who do you decide to join at that point? You decide to join the National Party.
Not the best move.
But people forget, you know, the National Party was at that point very dominant in the Western Cape. So if you were a career politician and you were looking to your future, strangely enough, weird as it might seem, the National Party was a big force in the Western Cape at the time, and it was predicted that they would win the provincial government, which they did.
Yeah, I remember that, and we've often forgotten that eventually the NNP, as it became, became part of the ANC, didn't become part of the DA. They were in an alliance for a while, but remember that Martinus van Schalkwyk and company eventually joined the ANC.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, it was a kind of act of emulation. You know, the why they thought they would survive in the ANC, I have no idea. But anyway, they sort of joined the ANC, and then in a typical way just disappeared.
Yeah.
I guess that's what happens to, you know, You only as powerful as the point at which you negotiate your entry. And as soon as you're inside the organization, well, then all of your power disappears.
It's almost like an ANC total victory. I mean, you even consumed your enemy at the end.
But
it is curious. So this guy, Dan Plato, I mean, does he carry any of those old NNP qualities into the mayor role now? I mean, what kind of a person is he? What do we know about his record?
No, his record is really is good and he's been a sort of differential, you know, to the DA leadership. But his, you know, he was on the council at the time of the Soccer World Cup. And did a good job, apparently. So his reputation as a politician is actually he's fairly unknown, and he likes to keep a low profile,
right,
which is rather odd until now. So. My suspicion is the DA was looking for somebody who wouldn't be Patricia DeLille.
Yeah, well, that pretty much leaves 99.9% of all people on Earth except Patricia DeLille, and they can't go back with her. That's been a spectacular fallout. People are saying that she might join the ANC. Do you think that's possible?
No, I don't think so. There was a rumor that she asked the ANC for a diplomatic post. I think that it's much more likely, you know, in the KZN, the ANC sort of helped foster a sort of rival to Inkatha, which sort of sat outside of the party but sort of voted for the ANC. My guess is that's what their plan is for Patricia DeLille as well.
They'll start a vehicle like the NFP that can kind of pretend to be against them but eventually give them votes.
Exactly. We'll just divide the opposition vote. That's the if you're in a proportional representation system, then the party with the highest proportion wins. So it's always nice to have your opposition's vote split. I think they will quietly support her, or maybe overtly. Have yet to see, but I'm sure they'll support her financially.
This week has been an incredible week in Parliament while we're talking about the politicians, because we've seen Malusi Gigaba's sex video discussed. We've seen various issues around the VBS bank brought up. We've seen some fisticuffs. What's going on there? Is Parliament more interesting than it's been in a while?
It's always interesting. I mean, when I was on, I actually worked in Parliament for a bit. I mean, it's a sort of conflation of the politics of the nation, you know, and to me, the fisticuffs that happened this week, you know, they are sort of reflection of people's frustration with each other. You know, I sort of oddly wondered whether they shouldn't formalize it somehow, you know, and have a rollerblading ring or something, you know, but I mean, it is depressing that logical argument just doesn't seem to be enough.
It has to get violent, it has to get ugly, it has to be rude, it has to insinuate all kinds of nastiness.
Exactly. I mean, it just seems to be a characteristic of politics all around the world now that it's a question of ego and identity politics just seems to have lost its way. I mean, I thought that when, after the Zuma period, Parliament would calm down, you know, that there wouldn't be the standing rows and the, you know, order, you know, shouting just continually, you know, but But that kind of attitude by politicians to the parliamentary forum is, you know, it seems to have become ingrained now. It seems to be part of what we expect from Parliament.
You know,
and I suspect it's getting worse, you know, because, you know, as the election gets closer, people get more and more determined to make their voices heard and so on.
Tim, you know what? I was listening to David Makura speaking yesterday on a number of issues in Gauteng, and he said something that I thought was quite interesting. He pointed out that government revenues are declining. And he said declining and declining and declining, as if to highlight the point. And then I thought a little bit while you were talking now about what you're saying about how politics, there's a desperation in politicians at the moment. They're screaming, I'm relevant. I'm still here. You still need me. But I wonder how long the curve is going to give these politicians to remain relevant. I mean, we know that in South Africa there are so many municipalities that just don't function at all. People are used to living in an anarchy in some ways. And I'm wondering whether or not these guys are going to ultimately disintermediate themselves. Like so much other stuff has happened in a world that's technologically connected like never before, where everything is a return on investment. People are able to measure things accurately. We can talk stuff through in a very connected, interlocked, interwoven way. And I'm wondering whether politicians and this old idea of electing people to go and sit in a chamber and talk is the way to do stuff. Do you think that they may be a little desperate and that this is what's happening in politics? You see Donald Trump in America. You see this populism in Europe. You see all these things going down, and here in South Africa, our politicians are screaming to be noticed.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I mean, in South Africa, I think it's easy to explain because it's obviously not easy, but you know, in my mind, at least, the South Africa's problem is that we've just run out of money. The one very surprising thing about the ANC during the, you know, first 15 years or so was that they actually ran the government finances very responsibly. And I wouldn't have anticipated that, you know, in the early years of the ANC administration, this is a socialist government, they would be, you know, there would be incredible demands on the fiscus. You know, you would expect that they would they'd have to give into these demands. They did, actually, by the way. There was the level of South Africa's level of moving money from the wealthy to the poor via the government is, you know, one of the highest in the world. I mean, but nevertheless, I think that you know, during the Jacob Zuma period, what happened was that business just got chutzpah, started trying to find ways to expand chutzpah outside the country. There was, and that's left politicians now, you know, with no room. There's nowhere to go. They can't borrow any more than they are, or they can't borrow faster than they are at the moment. That makes them, you know, when people come to them and ask them for projects and for money to buy Gautrain, you know, to build new stations and so on, the government just has to say no.
They don't have any more. The trough is empty, basically.
Yeah, no, exactly. I also think that's why there's so much corruption, strangely enough. I think people realize that this gravy train, you know, is going to end up crashing. So the best thing to do is to try and grab what you can now, whatever, you know, whatever the consequences.
Yeah.
This hose pipe is going to be turned off, you know,
the gravy's going to run out.
But you know, about the broader point about disintermediation and politicians, I think that's so interesting. The political system is based on this notion of elected trust. You vote for politicians, you trust them to act in your interest, right? But what have they done? What if they, what holds them to that?
Well, these days, don't we think that maybe these days there's a chance that there could be some real-world consequences in a way that there wasn't really before? Because ordinary people have means of communicating like they didn't before. Ordinary people have means of organizing like they never did before. And while we can decry and complain about so much in terms of social media, it does appear to me that there's new opportunity for people to find new ways to have themselves represented and taken note of by the systems that weren't there before. They just weren't there. You had to hope that someone who was representing you would do the best job they could. There was no way to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah, you know, somebody made this really great point, I thought, about American politics. They said, you know, one of the interesting things about American politics is that a succession of politicians has mastered the media of the moment. So if you look to, at when radio was happening in America, FDR used to have things called fireside chats, and every Friday he was on the, you know, he used to speak for an hour and a half about, you know, what was happening in politics. When television had its heyday, JFK was, you know, you had to be good looking and have hair and, yes, you know, be presented on television. You know, he was a television personality. And now the modern, the medium of the moment is social media and the internet. And actually the master of that is Donald Trump. You know, you can like him or hate him, but there's no denying that he really has mastered that medium.
Yeah, he's the troll. So, he's the troll that won the White House.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's extraordinary.
Tim, I want to turn our attention away from the news for a second because we're actually running out of time here. But I do want to talk about your band, and your band is called The Ponies.
That's correct. Yeah.
The album is called Based on an Original Idea, and you guys are actually doing a gig. I mean, I love this, that you can be the serious editor during your daytime, and then at night you can be in this band. There is a special launch, and people can come. Is there space? Are there still tickets available?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, okay. Don't be all coy about it now. I mean, this is something you...
No. It's been a great antidote for me. And I love music, as everyone does. And it's been great to play in the band. I'm so pleased to be part of it. And we had great fun putting this album together. We decided that we were going to try and have the payoff line. We might be old and ugly, but at least we can't sing. but actually, strange enough, as it happens, we can sing. Or at least our singer can sing.
What do you do in the band?
I play the guitar.
Okay.
I play the...
All right, you want to see Tim Cohen playing the guitar? You want to see these guys? You can go along to Rumors Rock City in Randburg on Saturday night. They're sharing the venue, but not the stage, with the Sinners. And we've got a couple of songs here. Which one do you want me to play? Bonnie or Anti-Codependency, or are we going to go with Buster? What do you feel like?
Buster. It's our tribute to Jimi Hendrix. It's a great song.
Let's do this. Thank you so much, Tim. It's been a pleasure to have you on The Burning Platform.
Thanks.
Thank you. There we go. That's Tim Cohen and the Burning Platform today, brought to you by Nando's. A couple of the stories in the news, a couple of insights from him. And here is The Ponies. See, can you believe this? A news editor who's also got a band. Do you like that, huh?
You learn something new every day.
Now, I haven't heard this before, so let's see what Tim and his band are all about. All right, are you ready? Here they are. Take a listen to this. Hey, what's this? What are you laughing about, Dumi? Huh? What are you laughing about?
Yeah. I wanted to hear Anti-Codependency.
Yeah. did you? Alright, that's actually really nice. I hadn't listened to it beforehand. I was a little trepidatious, but there we go. Tim Cohen, not only the editor of the Business Day in his real world job, also a guy who can put a band together.
Buster.
You ever thought of having a band, Dumi?
Trepidatious. Sorry, I'm still on trepidatious.
No, anti-codependency.
Yes.
Hey, that's your favorite word, huh?
I love it. I love it. And to, I want to hear that song.
I'm
in
it
for that.
I'll load it on your phone before you go.
Thank you.
Would you ever be in a
band?
Would
I start a band? Mm. Absolutely. If I get to rap, I could sing backup. I can hold a note, but I don't ride a note. So I'd rather rap.
Wow, how technical.
Yeah.
You don't sing, you ride.
Yeah, okay. You know,
sorry,
things
sorry, Sisri.
Yeah. You used to do those things, you know?
Yeah, I did.
Sisri.
Sisri. So Pasia tells me, speaking of Sisri, that everyone on earth is suing Aretha Franklin now that she's dead because they all want a piece of what she had, and her estate's now up for grabs. She left no will.
Oh.
How could you be so untidy? You have to leave a will, right?
But sometimes you believe you're going to live forever. I think sometimes you just tell yourself.
But it's these old school people. You know, when you look back at Aretha Franklin's life, even while she was performing up to a couple of months ago, she was still that person, and you Google images of her on stage with a handbag. And people often ask, why does she need a handbag
on stage?
She had
money in there.
Yeah, she would demand to be paid in cash.
Sure.
And the cash would go into her handbag, and she'd want her handbag in eyesight.
Oh, wow. Because,
you know, ain't nobody going to play with her money like
that.
Yeah. So it's no surprise
now. She
probably
paid for everything in cash. I bet you she was one of those ladies who'd go down to the shops in her local and she'd go, all right, I want 5 of those, but here's the cash. And she'd count out the notes.
Yeah.
She has an old school way of living, no will currently, which means her estate is up for grabs, really. Or legally, there still are due processes that have to be followed. But now, who do you count on when your own lawyers are suing you in your death?
How?
So,
oh my God, her own lawyers are suing her estate.
Her own lawyers are saying, actually, if we date back, the earliest case is from August of 2012, saying, we have some cases there where she didn't pay us, and then there's something there where she didn't pay us.
Because she probably, the legal fees, you can't settle in cash every time, so maybe she still owes them money.
Now that it's in a bank.
Exactly. So all of this is now up for grabs.
And of course, when an artist dies, everyone goes out and buys their stuff.
Yes,
so they have
more.
A spike. They have a big spike in income when they die.
What's sad is, as much as Aretha Franklin's kids are now adults, there's one child who has mental health issues.
Mental health issues, or they're like intellectual disability.
Yeah, it's a disability in that way. Okay. Actually still lived with Aretha Franklin, relied on her heavily, and he can't touch anything. He can't be paid out. He hasn't been maintained financially.
Does he even know she's gone?
We don't know.
I always wonder about that. You know?
Because, money hasn't been paid out just yet.
Estate planning.
Interestingly enough, people are comparing her to Prince's case. Prince also died with no will, and the estate was just left up for grabs. We know Prince's sister, Tika Nelson or something.
Tika Nelson.
Yes, Tika.
Has Timmy ever heard Tika Nelson?
No. Oh.
She's releasing things now.
Oh, she was releasing songs, because if I can't get money from my brother anymore because the estate is tied up, at least let me try to also be a solo artist. And it wasn't really working.
Oh, shit. No.
And yeah, it just wasn't working out. As compared to, as well, if we look at famous deaths of shame.
Jimmy's like, shame. You have no idea. Let me play something that Tyka Nelson did.
Oh, her song Boom, I think. That's what we love. Boom.
Okay, here it is. Just for your pleasure, all right? To me, you need to hear this. All right. This is Tyka Nelson's Prince's sister. She's a very weird-looking woman. I mean, I'm not being mean. She looks strange. But this is how she sounds. And she's got all the talent of Prince, you can tell.
Yes. Boom, 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 come here, about to see. Walked in the studio to lay down some tracks. Engineers within my ear, I'm mad.
No, make it stop.
This is incredible.
So when Prince died, she took over all the music, and now she's putting out new stuff every week. And
you gotta make your money some way, somehow. somewhere. And people are comparing these two cases to Senator John McCain, who also passed away recently. But the difference with Senator John McCain is he was very meticulous with how his life was going to end. And because already he knew he had health issues.
Well, he had a brain, he had brain cancer. Mm. The guy, he knew it was going to stop at some point.
And so he actually decided to get off treatment because he said he wanted to die in a dignified manner.
Right.
And as soon as he stopped treatment, he started working and signed a deal for a documentary on his life. Mm-hmm. He collaborated with someone to write a book, and that's actually completed. Mm. So it will be released in the next couple of months.
You've got to plan that stuff. If you want to be remembered for the right things, you've got to plan that. Yeah. You leave it to just anybody when you're dead, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah.
And this, for me, is the cherry on top. Senator John McCain wrote a 40-page document outlining his memorial and his funeral plans.
Sure.
He approached people who he wanted to speak on his behalf. So knowing who he wanted to do the eulogy, knowing who he wanted as a priest at the ceremony, etc., etc. So he planned everything to a T.
So it means if you're on something, or if you're sick, or if, you know, you're pretty old, you must plan.
Mm.
Not all of us have that privilege, bruh. Like, that meticulous planning.
Have you not done a will?
I've got a will, but I mean, I'm talking this meticulous who must be there, who must speak, 40 page, what do I die, guys? I've got a will. I've got, what else
like
do I have?
Life insurance.
Even the investments, the insurance.
Yeah.
Like,
so that if something did happen to you, your kids would have money, you'd be able to pay off the house.
And my sister as well, because I'm like, I mean, she's my sister. I mean, let's leave a little some to my nieces and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, I've planned all of this.
You left anything to me?
It's even had to change.
Did you leave anything to me?
Wow.
I can't tell you because you might kill me. It's better not to tell people, because imagine telling people that you're beneficiaries and they go, but you're not dying fast enough. And you're doing so well.
Yeah, that's a horrible way to think. Oh my God.
Because I remember after we renovated, my husband was like, don't you want to take one for the team? I mean, just now.
Mentioning wills, actually, looking at the numbers, more than half of adults don't have a will.
Mm. Yeah, you see, that's a problem. That's a big ass problem.
And this is how you get issues and fights within families. And look at last week, what happened, sadly, with WHP's family and Lerato as well.
Mm.
Who's legally allowed to what? Yeah,
you must leave instructions, please.
Mm.
People, all people and nations.
Yeah, don't mess with your own mourning process. Like if you're going, whatever, and you're rolling your eyes, we want to mourn you nicely. We don't want to be fighting over you and
your
money. Because actually we're fighting over your stuff. We're not even fighting over you. So you're proper lying there, and we forget you're lying there. No. We're just like, sure.
And how nice would it be to imagine you're dying, and what I'm going to leave here in my wake is a huge number of fights.
Mm.
That's what I'm going to leave the world. That's my inheritance to you, is fighting. That's a horrible thing to do.
I wish I led a very scandalous life, because that's what I would love.
Just what?
You might still see her.
Just to leave a letter to say, oh, by the way, I have three kids there. I have a gambling addiction.
Oh, my gosh. Can
I
guys
murdered
do that?
People. And, I think that would be fabulous.
I have a cousin who passed away, and I was very impressed with him, right? Uh-oh. So we didn't know that he had this bastard child, right?
Can't say that anymore. You say
illegitimate.
Natural child. You don't even say illegitimate, because it's just not people.
Really?
You say natural child.
Natural child.
Yeah, like as
what
in.
What does that even mean?
Yeah. As in, the parents weren't necessarily married.
But they were natural.
Yeah. You can't say, because I used to say bastard. It's not a good
it's
word.
Not a bastard child.
No, people don't like. No, it's very un-PC to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Natural child. I didn't know that.
Because they used to say bastard child.
I thought that's what you said. I'm so used to talking about them in vernac that I feel like in English it's a bastard child.
Like your uncle.
Yes,
what you're
my
doing
uncle.
Now?
I'm an old generation who can be fixed.
In the old days, whether it was a girl or a boy, it was a bastard child.
Yes, it was a bastard child. Even on what's this thing with Queen of the Dragons?
Game of Thrones.
They call about talk about a bastard child. Anyway,
what times
point
are those?
Is,
so what times are we living in now?
Okay. So this my cousin passes on, and their wife calls the family in very upset.
Uh-huh.
And apparently my cousin had a daughter next door. No. Not even far away there, that side next door. How does she find out? When the policies come, the child is named as a beneficiary. I was so impressed with him. Sure. You know when you're so impressed? I'm impressed. I'm you upset for cross, her, yeah. But I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm like, that is a responsible dude.
He left some for his other children. He left something.
He's acknowledging that I made another child. I've hidden it from my wife, but...
Have you ever watched these shows where they have these people with a double life on TV? That the one person is he's a husband and he's a loving father, and then he works in another city during the week or whatever. And he's got another family there.
A whole other family.
And he keeps them separate. And he lies sometimes so effectively that the two families never find out.
Mm. See, there ain't nothing natural about that.
What do you mean there ain't nothing natural? Children. That is natural. No. It's natural. What's unnatural is the way we find out because people post things on social media.
Yes.
What's natural is if you're a side chick, respect your position, enjoy and respect the one who is the one. And leave it that way. Mm. Don't break it. You're not going to be promoted to main chick just because now you've gone and outed the guy.
Hmm.
You're going to lose either way.
Do you think, and this is something I've always wanted to ask you because you have such an interesting take on these things. Do you think blessies, these chicks who get like a guy to pay for them and you see them like in fancy hotels, they're sitting around waiting for the blesser to pick them. It's almost like it's like an audition. Yeah. Do you think that those women have any peace at all, because they could be replaced at any minute? The wife is a threat, but the other girls are also a threat, and plus once he has you, does he still want you? And if he, let's say he loses his money or he loses his position or whatever, then you're out in the cold again. It must be a very insecure place to be. I worry about those girls.
That's a good point. That
their mental, you know, their ability to make it, because they're hungry and they're thirsty, and then they get some. And then they get used to a certain level of living, and then it changes again, and you wonder what they do.
I always wonder, because they're going to age at some point, especially those ones who go to Dubai and stuff.
Yes.
And you find out the things they do, the things they let those guys do to them.
Mm.
Yes.
I've also heard these stories.
Yeah, no way. I've been saying I really hope they put their money away, because I remember meeting a stripper who now has a string of butcheries, you know?
Yeah. That's a great place to go.
True story. Like, you're saving your trips. You're actually being smart with your money.
Very clever.
You understand? Although you start going, but if you're that smart, then why is that what you're doing instead of using your brain to do something else?
Maybe you just need the cash flow at the beginning.
Again, low-hanging fruit. Sure. You know, where I acknowledge that with my career, I've done that. Sometimes you go, this is so much easier. Mm. I could do that thing and be great and be in the history books, but this is easy. I'm going to chill here.
Mm.
And maybe it's that. Sometimes you don't know any better. You know what I mean?
But also, why do we regard stripping as being an ignoble profession? I mean, those girls make a lot of money. It's tax-free.
Mm.
Really, all they have to do is show off the body.
And they have the art of making their coochie smell like pineapples.
What?
Dude, this girl's coochie smelled like a pineapple. I was so impressed. I was like, your cooch smells nice.
Put that on your Tinder profile.
What's wrong, Spongile?
What do you mean? What were you doing in her cooch?
Because she was giving us a dance, and then it was really pretty, and then she came up close. Now, remember how much we drink before we are brave enough to do these things? So
and it was shaking all over your face.
Proper.
Everywhere. Just.
Yeah, because then she stands on the sofa, and I'm like, hold on. I'm not experiencing fish. This is fruity.
Oh, shit. This has nothing to do with snook.
Nothing to do with snook, my friend. Let's just say they were wonderful fluffers because I went home with my husband after that.
But that is what a lot of women don't understand about a strip club. If you go with your man, you can. Yeah.
Yeah, but there are some disturbing ones. I'm sorry. There was one who was dressed like, she was dressed like one of those sad housewives, and she just looked blank, and I was like, she must be on some kind of drug.
Oh,
but
no.
She made it look, she was the one where someone's going to want to rescue the girls and call the cops.
Yeah.
She just looked like she didn't want to be there.
You got to be a happy stripper.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. Here's the thing.
You got to be a happy stripper. Here's sad stripper, very bad.
Gareth,
very bad.
Here's how scary it is, though. There are men who want that.
Sad stripper.
They want a girl who looks like she doesn't want to be there. They want that morbid. I don't know how that's a turn on for anyone.
They must go to the therapy first and then the strip club after.
But for me, the guys who like to see that are the guys who like to have the candle stuck up their bums. That's the same WhatsApp group.
The escalated.
Yeah, the weird ones. No. Because, anyway, this is not
candles,
the sex show.
Huh?
I'm going to leave it at that. Yes, there's a guy. There's a guy who paid 1,500 Rand for the lady to just put the candle in there and leave him in that room alone for about half an hour.
Oh. Well, you know,
to each his own.
Do you know the guy?
I don't know the guy. No, when we were doing teas, remember teas that I did with Vanessa?
Yes.
We were doing a lot of research on sex.
Yes.
And so we'd meet those ladies who run dungeons and we'd go to the sex shops and stuff. And that's where I learned about the guys, that there's a guy who likes a candle up his bum for his birthday for 1,500. I'm like, guy, give it
for
to me. I will. Why do you need to go to an expert? I suppose you want someone who won't hurt you, who knows how to stick and where to stick.
What do you get from the
sensation? I don't know, but he's like, the guy was so happy. She was like, dude, this person was happy with my service.
And then, heaven forbid, a bit of wax falls. Never mind, I can't.
Was it lit?
I should have asked. I didn't ask. I, like you, was still on the... He wanted to just lie there with a candle
imagine,
in his bottom.
Imagine it has like a firework. And
it's like, sorry, I'm going there. Then how thick is a candle as well?
Wait, how did Blessies take us here? But yes, I hope Blessies are also estate planning. If you know he's not yours,
then
and
please,
he might leave, please make
ladies,
a plan.
I know we have a lot of Blessies listening to
us.
They love the internet.
They love it. They can afford it.
It's also where their customers sometimes come from. So, ladies, if you are a blessee, then please, estate planning.
And gentlemen, yes. But you know what? There are smart ones because there is. I remember when I went to go buy my car and I was speaking to the finance lady and she was proper tickled, like tickled pink, because this girl came in and looked at a car with one guy who put down the deposit. And she came back because when that guy left, she was like, oh, no, I left my bank details at home, blah, 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 but it's fine. I'll come back later. Comes back later with another guy who's doing the monthly payments for her.
She has two men.
She has two guys.
Dealing with the car payments.
Yeah.
That's great.
One guy paid for the...
And again, they don't know each other even.
Mm-hmm.
I know of someone who...
She's hustling hard.
Proper. And I respect those girls because, you know, it's so easy to look down on them. But I'm like, my cooch has not gotten me even at least a Nando's. You know, nothing. So,
at least.
So shout out to those girls.
Like a little... Leg chips. Am I asking for too much?
Boma 15 rand for sweets nyana or transport or nothing. Like, no, so I respect that.
In other words, you have not deployed that asset.
It does not qualify for a tax number.
Mm.
There are others out there. If SARS had to audit that thing,
how would SARS go? Imagine SARS.
Are we getting first? No.
SARS arriving with their books and their files and a speculum.
Some people need a tax number on their little horns.
This poor blessee sitting there. Can you protect me from yourself?
Oh my God.
The things we see in Johannesburg. Let's put it that way.
What places have you been to where you can watch, like almost like you go to the Kruger National Park to see the animals?
Yes.
Places you can watch the blessers and blessees fraternizing. Because I like to watch that. I really do. I love people watching. You must, as a comedian, you watch these things. You love it.
It's fascinating.
Where can you go? 5-star hotels in the lobbies, in the lounge areas.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch places at fancy restaurants. I mean, those are obvious, but where else?
VIP lounges at these international concert situations.
Ah, that's a good one, because that's the treat.
Yes,
that's
how
you lure them in. You're like, do you want to come and see Beyonce?
That's the warm-up.
Mm.
Beyonce.
There are VIP at clubs.
Yes, VIP at clubs.
That's a very big one, a very important one.
How come they don't go on cruises, though? Because the cruises is always a proper husband and wife. Like there's always,
and you think about it, a cruise, you'd be secluded.
Yeah.
You're away.
Yeah.
It's a perfect place for you.
Except there, that's where now the ship crew, those hot chicks work on the crew.
Yes.
And then,
okay.
Yes.
The world is a naughty place. It's fun. It's fun.
Fun, right?
It's fun. It's fun.
Well, I'll tell you what else is fun. If you haven't picked it up, And Then Mama Said, Words That Set My Life Alight, Tumi Morake's new book.
A whole book, guys. I wrote a whole book.
Wow.
It's beautifully put together. There are photographs in here.
Yes, that was
of you with your mother's first car.
Yeah.
Mabale Moloi makes a photographic mention there.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Being at Cliff Central is definitely one of the highlights of
my
career.
Look at that. There's you and Mubs.
Yeah. It was a happy time for me. Like, for me, you know when they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
Yeah.
It's probably my only regret, really, where I'm like, I was in such a happy place doing what I love. And then I decided, no, even me, I want to eat. And then, not such a great idea. Sometimes you don't need to eat. I love
this picture of you guys in Ghana.
Oh, yes, we were at a wedding. Oh, and we all dressed the same.
All right. Well, you see, if you want this, you must get you must go and buy the book.
Yes, it's online. It's in the bookstores.
I'm not going to spoil it for you.
I'm going to try and do an audiobook.
That's excellent.
Oh,
people like that.
So
you know,
cool.
You don't have time always to read.
Yeah. Plus,
and that car accident. You put a picture of your car in there as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, listen. I saw my life flash in front of my eyes.
Well,
it was a very long move.
Mm. You know what? You've made my day, as you always
do. Thanks, my honey.
For this simple purpose, everyone must participate with any sort of holiday. Buy it for Halloween, buy it for Thanksgiving, buy it for Black Friday,
yes.
Buy it for Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year's.
Kwanzaa.
On my birthday, for my birthday, buy it
World
as a gift
AIDS
to
Day,
me.
Yeah. Everything.
Buy this book for Kwanzaa.
Yes, yes.
That's the tagline that's missing from the
poster. But my birthday is on the 22nd of December, so seriously, please buy it as a Christmas gift to me. Oh. And then tag me.
Happy birthday.
Thanks,
nice.
Han.
In advance.
But listen, if the Cape Townians are listening, which they definitely are,
mm-hmm.
please come and watch myself and Ndumi Solindi doing Married But Not to Each Other at the Baxter Theatre. Because we did it earlier this year. We did two nights at the Melrose, what's it called? Fire and Ice in Cape Town. And due to popular demand, we decided
Very
to do
good.
A bigger venue and take it to Baxter.
Well, I remember when you guys were in here. That was the last time I saw you.
Yes.
So let's not make it so long before the next time, please.
Listen, I'm yours, isn't it? Now I'm getting sipping tea back.
Why is this guy?
Why is he going back on his word?
We're going to sit down after this. We're going to discuss the diary.
Yes,
we'll figure out what time works, and we'll do it.
I'll even come in the mornings.
Beautiful.
Come mess with your mornings some more, guys.
Beautiful. I love it. Dumi Morake, everybody. It is just about 8 o'clock. We're going to join Justin Cohen next, who's an international speaker, best-selling author. And I actually have seen him around a couple of times in the last few weeks. We've got lots to talk about. He's put out 4 books and 7 audiobooks. So maybe you should speak to him too, to
mm-hmm.
get your book onto audiobook. CliffCentral.com